The scripture this morning is one that's really a favorite of mine. It has to do with prayer, particularly, and that's what I'm going to deal with. But it's also about a centurion who was concerned about his servant who was ill. Now, I thought about that when I was reading it, and I read the lesson, then I'm thinking of some other things that I could add to that to amplify that scripture for you on this Memorial Day weekend. I thought of my uncle and a cousin who were in World War II. My uncle in the Battle of the Bulge, my cousin who was a survivor of the Bataan Death March. And I thought when they said one thing in common, I never prayed so much in all my life. Both of them said this. And I thought, I can understand that. Then, you know, when we were in Normandy and there at the scene of the Omaha Beach in the Longest Day, and then all of the nearly 10,000 graves that make up American Cemetery there on the top of that hill. Boy, I bet they prayed hard that day too, don't you think? And I thought, wow, what sacrifice. Well, there were a lot of other things that I could incorporate, you see, right now in terms of telling you about where I'm going with that sermon. But the centurion stood out. And then I thought of three boys in the confirmation class. And I'm thinking now whenever I ask them to offer a prayer when we began, everybody was afraid of saying something, weren't you? See, I'm looking at both of them in the back. Can't see the third one. There's no right way or wrong way of praying. There really isn't. And you don't even have to use all of the fancy words that come, what, to us like nobody's business. God doesn't care. And the other thing to keep in mind, before you even offer a prayer, God knows what's in your mind and what's going on. So really, you don't have to say anything. And for some ministers, that would be absolutely disastrous. It would be. Can you imagine if I said, all right, let's join together in prayer. And then I just stood here. What's he doing? That's what's going through people's minds. The centurion in our lesson is a very good case in point. He knew about the good things that have happened in his world because of Jesus Christ. He knew about the healing ministry. He knew about the love that was shared. He knew all of these things that were going on and his servant that he loved was suffering. And he didn't know how to pray. So he thought if he asked some people, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Open your Bibles. This is a good lesson, and you see, we even use the centurion in our prayer of confession. And we're looking at Luke, the 7th chapter, the first 10 verses. When Jesus had finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go and he goes, and that one, come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. And the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. You know, preachers are always asked to offer prayers wherever they go. Whenever we're out someplace, they ask me to pray because I'm a professional prayer. And I think that's pretty neat. I'm used to it after all these years. My professional prayer has got to have more contact with God than anything you could do. Not really. Not really. Today's lesson pictures a centurion of the Roman guard who heard about Jesus. And when this highly regarded servant was close to death, the one that he really loved, and it spells him out here, he called on religious leaders in Capernaum. He called on the elders from the synagogue to do him a favor. Talk to Jesus on my behalf. On behalf of my servant, I should say, because this centurion was held in high regard by the leaders because he said in the lesson that he'd helped them build the synagogue. He wasn't just a Roman. He was a good guy, good neighbor. Well, Jesus heard all of this and decided to go and see for himself this servant. On the way, the centurion's friends stopped Jesus on behalf of that centurion to heal that servant. And the centurion, I assume, felt, rightly so, that he could not speak to Jesus directly because he wasn't really one of the followers of Jesus. He just heard about the good things that he'd done. He didn't buy the whole story. How often I hear folks that can't pray to God and ask me to do it. They can't pay directly to Jesus. They think there's something missing. I'm not saying the right words. And I can remember someone saying, you know, I'd love to talk to God. I really would. I'd love to talk to God, but I don't know how to do it. And I said, you just have. What do you mean? I don't know how to say the right thing, Reverend. Well, is there a right thing? There's no right way. You see, when we read this story, and I thought Memorial Day is a good time to read the story because the centurion doesn't ever actually talk to Jesus directly, ever, in any of this lesson. We don't hear that they ever actually came into contact with one another. Either at the healing of the servant or someplace, it's just sort of one of those stories that's there. But there was no direct contact, one way or the other, between the centurion and Jesus Christ. So, that's what I said in the beginning. How do we make that fit for Memorial Day? What do we make of this story in order to apply it to our lives? That last verse, if you have your Bibles open, the very last verse says that the slave was in good health. He was well. That's what the word says in the book. Jesus heard about the centurion's need and his faith from religious leaders and friends, the good things the centurion had done, the life that he lived, the care that he was giving, and guess what? You see, Jesus hears more than just words. More than words. He sees you. He knows you as a person. You become something very personal, not only to Jesus Christ, but to God Almighty. You do. I tried to stress that to the boys in confirmation class. Prayer is, looky here, God, I'm feeling pretty good today. Thank you. Amen. Guess what? That works. That works. He hears our heart. At the same time, we can say that even though we each have direct access to God through prayer, and Jesus still hears and answers prayers, you don't need to go through someone else. But guess what? That's quite often what we do, don't we? We just got a Pew report during the last week that comes periodically to the churches, letting us know where we're doing things right and where we're doing things wrong by checking on people around the country. And the last thing that they did was a big statistic on prayer. How many of you pray for yourself? How many of you pray for this? And how many of you pray for that? 87% pray for someone else. That was the highest percentage. For someone else. The comfort and hope and strength that prayer does give. Sometimes, you know, we need to be able to count on our prayer warriors to lift the prayers to God when we're having a hard time. I know many of you have said this. If it weren't for those who are praying for me in the life of the church, I don't know where I'd be. I said that. Gloria said that in a phone conversation. I know the prayers from McLeod are lifting me up. You know, from this story, we see a God who listens to all who speak and a Jesus called the Christ who does hear those who don't say a word. God's response to us is never interrupted. Did you know that? And I told the choir this morning, there was an old preacher in West Virginia that said, God don't give no maybes. I love that, and it stayed with me all these years. No maybes. You get a yes, and you may get a no. But no maybes. Thanks be to God, who answers even our indirect and imperfect prayers. Amen. God, our Father, we're grateful for your Spirit and your love that you touch our lives over and over again, even when we're unaware that you're touching us. Thank you for your love and thank you for your hope. Amen.